Everyone being out with us this evening, especially if you consider yourself visitor, want you to always feel welcome to worship with us any opportunity that you have. The verses we'll be using this evening are on the board. I'd encourage you to pick up a Bible and follow along with us this evening, and we'll see what we can gain from a study of God's Word this evening. I think this kind of goes a little bit hand in hand with what Daryl talked about this morning, in that this world is not our home, but yet this verse that we build this lesson around this evening is something that encourages us to live in this life as well as look towards the life in heaven someday soon. So we'll pick up our text for the lesson this evening out of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And the scripture here says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." You know, we see at the end of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, which is what we call the love chapter, that it is summed up with this verse that says, these three things have the ability and the qualities to last, which means no matter what happens in this world, these qualities will still survive through whatever this world has. And they'll last throughout all of our lives. It's the same from the time we're obedient to the gospel until we're put into the grave. These three characteristics still remain the same in our lives. And then it tells us that the greatest of these is charity or love. So we will look at this verse just a little this evening. You know, when talking about faith, we understand what faith is. In Hebrews 11, verse number 1, says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, it's a very familiar verse for us, and we all understand this, but yet a lot of times I think the greater context of this verse kind of slips by us at times, you know, because we just look at things and we think, well, that's faith, but what do we base that on? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And as we go on into this lesson, I hope that becomes clearer as where we gain our faith and the strength that we gain from faith. You know, we look at this verse to say that we believe in God, even though we can't physically see Him. We may not be able to we might not be able to physically see Him, but yet we can clearly see Him and His hand at work in everything around us every day we're out in the world. The change of the seasons, the change of the weather on a day-by-day basis. Of course, around this part of the country, we can have change of weather day-by-day basis. The plants, the animals, all the things that we get to enjoy in this life. Something as miraculous as a new baby being born. Something as simple as a gentle breeze, which may be hard to find in this part of the country too. This morning wasn't very gentle breeze. But yet we still see God's hand in all of these things by faith. We understand that these things aren't just things that happen by the way the world is set up all on their own, that they just come about from nothing. We understand by faith that God had His hand in all of these things from the beginning of time, in the way that He set up the world to run from the beginning of time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, and Daryl talked a little bit about this morning. We get caught up in this world to where we tend to we want to see and touch and feel and all of these things to understand what they are. And yet the unseen or the unknown we have to take by faith in God and from His Word to explain those things. And that's something that for us as Christians that it's so easy for us to get caught up in. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." And I think a lot of times for us as Christians, even though we profess to be Christians, we live out in the world. And we do get caught up in that idea that we look at things that are seen to gain our strength from, to gain encouragement from, instead of looking to the eternal for gaining the strength that we need to gain from that. And that's just part of what, as we grow as Christians, that's just part of what's supposed to set us apart, that we turned to more of a spiritual mindset than the physical mindset in everything that we do in this world. Romans chapter 1 verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." And we understand that as Christians, that we are to live by faith. And we know that, as Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So, "for he that cometh to God must believe that he is." Well, you know, if we don't believe in God to begin with, we're not going to come to God and seek out his guidance and direction in our lives to begin with. But when we do through faith, then we understand that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, and I don't necessarily mean a great monetary reward by the things of this life, the physical things that we gain out of this life, but yet the rewarder of those that diligently seek him sometimes is as simple as realizing that this world's not all there is, and there's something far greater beyond this world. That's part of the reward that we strive for as Christians living in this world. We understand that this world will die away each and every day. As Daryl mentioned this morning, each and every day, everything in this world dies a day more, and we're part of that group. And yet we understand through all of that, through faith, that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So even though we deteriorate or we die a little bit each and every day, we understand through faith that God has something far greater for us at the end of our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 2 simply says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." You know, when we look at the things out in the world, that's walking by sight. When we let God's word direct our steps and have the faith to understand that his promises are true, then that's walking by faith. Hope is the next thing in 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." So you look at this, and it says, we're justified by faith, and we have access to God and his promises by faith, or access into his grace by faith. And that, in turn, leads us to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But then look at 3 and 4. You know, we're not told as Christians that this life is just simply a bowl of cherries with ice cream. You know, we will face troubles in this life. And the troubles that we face in this life are part of what God uses to mold and shape our lives in this world, to help us to be more and better Christians in the future than we have in the past, and not rely more on the physical, but lean to the spiritual more and more. Verse 3 and 4 again says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." You know, how kind of, that's a foreign concept for the world today, to glory in tribulations also, because we all understand that when there's tribulations, that's trouble in the family, whatever the case may be, whether it's physical, you know, somebody in the hospital, death in the family, you know, monetary situation, whatever the case may be, that to glory in tribulations is just something the world doesn't understand. You know, well, how can you glory in tribulations? Because through faith, we understand that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And that's what gets us through those trying times that this life throws at us. So when the world looks at us and we glory through tribulations, that's part of what sets us apart as Christians, part of what makes us a peculiar people. When the world looks at us and sees us going through situations in our lives and understand that we don't let it get us down to the extent that those out in the world do, then that's something they want to well, hey, how do you get through these things? How can you handle those things? And then we have an opportunity to spread God's message because of that. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25 says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for him. We see through the eyes of faith that leads to the hope that God has for us, that we have in his promises, realizing that when this world is over, and if we're still professing to be a Christian and we strive to live according to God's will and his word, then we will have a great reward at the end of this life. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Father, Jesus Christ." So notice in this verse, in verse 12, he says, in this precious present world, we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly. And by living that way in this present world, then that leads to us looking for that blessed hope. So what is that blessed hope? You know, this verse explains it real well. That blessed hope is the hope that we have of heaven, getting to heaven someday. Hebrews 6 verse 19 says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." So we just talked about, we glory in tribulation, that this world finds that foreign concept to them. Well, this is part of that. The hope that we have of a hope of eternity in heaven with God and Jesus someday anchors our soul to where we're not tossed back and forth by all the things that this world has to throw at us each and every day. The last of the topic in 1 Corinthians 13:13 was charity or love. And we know that we are to love one another, to love Jesus and to love God, because Jesus tells us that to love God is to love all of us. We can't say that we love God and we hate man, because then it says that we would be a liar and the truth would not be in us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 9 says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Jesus simply tells us in John chapter 14 verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You know, what better way to show the love that we have towards Jesus and to God than to know what his commandments are, and then to strive our very best to keep those commandments. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." So this verse tells us that the love of God working in our lives is to keep his commandments. We can't say that we love God, and yet we go out in the world and we live like the rest of the people that we know out in the world that don't profess Christ and still call ourselves a Christian. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 says, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." And then John 14, verse 20 and 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him." You know, it's a very simple act that we can perform in this world to show that we love him for loving us. And that's trying to live according to his commandments. And you saw up here that it says his commandments are not grievous, but yet we find trouble with them sometimes. And when we find troubles with following his commandments at times, 99.999999% of the time is man wants to do what he wants to do instead of following what God wants us to do. And we can't do that and live and call ourselves Christians and yet live the way we want to live the rest of the time. We have to strive our very best to follow the commandments of God. And we do that to show that we love God and for all the promises that he has given us through his word. You know, faith is what lets us see God in all that is around us and in his promises from his word. You know, Jesus told Thomas in John chapter 20 and verse 29, says, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And we realize this is when Jesus was raised from the dead and he come back to the apostles, and Thomas is telling them, yeah, but unless I can see him and put my hands in the holes in his side or in the holes in his wrist or his feet, says, I won't believe that he is risen from the dead. And that's what Jesus is telling him here. Because you have seen me, you've believed. But blessed are those that have not seen, yet have believed. That's faith. We understand through God's word telling us this story, and we believe it. That's faith. Hope is what keeps us moving forward in this life as we strive to live as Christians in a sinful world, and as we face everything that Satan throws at us day by day out in the world. Titus chapter 2 verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what keeps us going. The love for God is what motivates us to keep on that path towards heaven, to continue in his word, to love the brethren. Love for God is what encourages us to want to live a life pleasing unto him. You know, again, we can't live one way here and another way out in the world and say that we love God, because as we've read, that can't mix. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 21 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known, believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You go back up here in verse number 9 is one of the founding verses in this group of verses. It says, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So even before we loved God or knew God that we needed to love God, he still loved us. And he saw an avenue of reconciliation between mankind and himself. And that avenue was to send Jesus to pay the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the world. What greater love is that than you'd send your own son to die for a sinful world? And that's all we have to do is acknowledge that and put it first and foremost in our lives, and then do our very best to show that we love God by following his commandments. I want to close with the verse we started with, 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." So when we look at building our toolbox that we have to carry the characteristics that we need in this life to get through the things this life has for us, faith, hope, and love are three of the greatest tools that we can have to get through the things this life throws at us. Because through faith, we see God all around us. And through his hope that we have in that and the promises, we have that hope of living eternally in heaven with God someday. The hope that this world is not all there is when we die, that there's something far greater than this. And then the love that we have one towards another while we live in this world, and the love that we have towards God in trying our best to pattern our lives after the examples that was set for us to pattern. I'll leave the lesson with you this evening. Pray the things we've studied been beneficial for you, been encouraging for you. And as Daryl's lesson was this morning, help us to understand that this world is not where we strive to live for eternity, that this world is dying away, and we as well. So we need to encourage our own selves and build up these characteristics in our lives to help us look towards that heavenly home when God in heaven with God someday. If anyone's subject to the gospel call, we'd ask you to come forward, have a seat on the front row while we stand and sing the song of Vincent.